We're at the end of the 11th perek. And here in the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim, the Piyasetzne, the Rebbe, the Heiliger Rebbe is speaking about over here about a person understanding what it means, what a person can reach, a Heilig, a special, how Posh the Yidin able to reach Dargus, Ruach HaKodesh, Dargus of Nevius. Once upon a time, there was 1.2 million Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael, just in one generation alone. It's like everyone was like, there's Nevu all over the place. And that was considered the standard. That was considered, you know, that was normal. And how things have declined, deteriorated. And look at where we are now. And are we comfortable with this? Are we happy with this? Is this what we want to be? We're up to the paragraph Bochur Yisrael. Bochur Yisrael Daf Kuf Yud Dalid in the old printing, in the new printing. Tzadi Zayin. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiya B'dvarei. Okay, Bochur Yisrael. Bochur Yisrael. Why do you have an impression of yourself? Why do you look at yourself? And on everyone else, and on the chevra, on Yidden. You're like an animal, sophisticated animal. We're like upper class animals. We're animals with a lot of intellect, intellectual animals. We're just looking to like searching for something to like to pray, something to capture. Ubahem, ubishtusim achirim, in them, in like all different types of trapping and all different types of hunting and other shtusim. Kol hayoim tishka, the entire day we're steeped, we're shakua in shtusim, acherim, and these types of things. It's amazing how much time a person spends on shtusim in the course of his day, in the course of his life. The amount of time people spend. When I was younger, so they had these. When you know, I actually remember when they first came out with the cell phones. They were like this big. Like, they couldn't really even fit in your pocket, really. They were like huge. Remember the first one I saw? It's around the time of the Gulf War, actually. And then I remember when they had games on. They had this game called Snake on the cell phone. It was the dumbest game in the planet. And it was amazing how dumb people were able to be. And they sat there just playing Snake. Like all day, and then I was like, you know, sometimes you borrow someone's phone and you see their high score. You're like, "Wow, you're really good." You know, I'm really bored. You know, they spent hours and hours on this dumb game. It's like pathetic. How many hours people can play Snake? You know, someone was telling me that his brother was in the news for like for the highest score in Brick Breaker. I don't know which level he reached on Brick Breaker, but that was the first game that BlackBerry had over there. It was like big thing, you know. And you know, every day on the train, and on the train there, on the train back, you know, on his coffee break, in the bathroom, he's breaking away at these bricks, and he's like, you know, triple digits on levels over here. It's like unbelievable. He made the news. I mean, the guy spent so many hours of his life were wasted on Brick Breaker. I was talking recently to someone who told me that it's impossible to give up his phone because Candy Crush is just too close to his heart that, you know, he can't let go of the phone. It's amazing. It's amazing how much of our lives we are carving out for shtusim. And that's just a small part of it. Do you have any idea, the average American, how many hours a day of television they're watching, how many hours a day of television? They have years of their lives that didn't happen because they were watching television. Years! They could have been doing something. Instead, they're just sitting there on a couch. probably just flipping channels. Not happy watching that, not happy watching that. They're like robots. You know, they're not, you know, there's nothing good on television, but you do just change the channel. And they just sit there changing the channel, you know, like, until they finally find something to do, right? There's nothing to do, what are you doing? It's but we spend so much of our life, just so much of our life is just wasted. It's pasha wasted. We're so shakua in this. Hey, adroy, say him to dog. And when we don't have these things, then we're like nervous. We're like, we're at a loss. Like, what's going to be? It's like terrible. I was one time in a car back from a chasana, and the front seat was a couple who was making shever brachas for the chasan kala. And in the middle, the wife let out a scream. She said, oh no, shever brachas in the middle of my favorite show. What are we going to do? Do you think they'll mind if we stop shever brachas so we can watch the show? Do you think they'll mind? She says to her husband. I was like, I was just dying in the back seat. I was like, this is so pathetic. You're living a life. You're in the middle of a simcha, and you're like, excuse me, Chazan Kala, it's okay if we take a little like hour break because, you know, whatever. I was talking to someone recently who told me that he's very upset because it's the off season and his baseball team didn't make enough acquisitions. So it's going to be next year. So now it's off season, not even the season, and he's still like, oh, he's like, oh my gosh, what's going to be? He's not going to have anything to like to enjoy. And like that is like his entire life is dependent on whether or not I'm going to be able to like enjoy watching my hours of baseball. It's insanity. And when we don't have these things, tidag, we're upset, we're down. Bacher once told me, Rangers win, I'm in a good mood. Rangers lose, don't bother talking to me. It's like, you are pathetic. You are. This is what your life depends on. This is what your mood depends on. The entire world has to suffer because the Rangers played a bad game. I mean, come on. This is what really makes a difference. Our whole life is consumed with, you know, just being busy with shtusim. It's just shtusim. It's no better than that. It's no worse, maybe, but it's definitely no better than that. Ubedar same tidak. We're like nervous. We're worried. Oh, I don't have it. What? Ubehasogoy sehem tasbia, and we have that. We're good. We're good. We're enjoying our shtosim. I'm happy with shtosim. What's wrong with being happy with shtosim? You know, there's a guy who likes playing with, you know, baby's rattle. You know, he's 19 years old and he's like, what's wrong? I'm having a good time. I say, you are such a loser. What do you mean, what's wrong? It's fun. It's got little balls inside. They go from one side to the other side and make noise. It's so much fun. Having a good time. You're like, you are a loser. Lama zelo sidrash mimcha gadlus. Why not try to expect of yourself something bigger? Why not be dorish gadlus? Something big. Something important. Something divine. V'titztak imrak lo yingach velo sechte, and you're like, you're happy with yourself as long as you haven't done anything like something that's detrimental, or you haven't done anything wrong. You know, how often have I heard people say, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong with it? And my response is always, what's right? What's wrong? That's your whole life is just doing, you know, just stay away from wrong. Like, what about doing something that's right? What about doing something that's constructive? What about being productive? If you could tell me what's right about it, so then we have what to talk about. But people who are just trying to, like, defend themselves, like, what's wrong? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this? What's right about it? We're trying to do something meaningful. Not just sit there and be nothings. Amar l'nafshecha. Tell yourself, I'm not looking for anything new. I'm not like trying to be innovative. Rakis asher kvar hoyoshuv yiyeh. I just want to bring back what was. I want to go back to what Klal Yisrael once was. That's it. El toyar v'tzichtzuch gufeinu v'nafshenu nachazor. We just want to go back to, there was a purity of Klal Yisrael. There was a wholesomeness that existed in Klal Yisrael. Let's just get back to that. That's it. Just go back to our roots. Get in touch with Klal Yisrael's legacy. Elavinu, Asher Me'oz Nashuv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always been our father. It's the same relationship. Let's just get back in touch with that. Let's reconnect. Hashkifa Bachar Yisrael. Take a look, Bachar Yisrael. El Zohar Teferes Yisrael. Look at the shine, the glory of Klal Yisrael. Vel Atzmuscha Etzem Hashamayim L'Toyer Hashem L'Fonim. And on yourself, you are your essence, your etzem, your core is from the Shemayim. It's pure. B'tidag, and you should be concerned. Look at yourself. And you should be concerned. What am I doing with this? Where am I going with this? What's becoming over here? What's happening? Where's my direction? How am I getting there? Tidag. El cheshchaseinu hanoira'ata. The darkness that we're in. We don't even know where to turn. We don't know where to go. We're living in darkness. Dag, you should be worried a little bit. You should have a desire, a yearning to do something. Service. Lashuv, to get back. Laalois, to go up. Let's get a little bit closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's move forward. Not to stay in the same place. Oirer bizman min azmanim. Be ma'ir yourself. Which means inspire yourself. Awaken yourself. Es nafshecha. Tish'af. Have a she'ifa. Have a goal. Have a vision. Have a dream. Tishtapeach. U'besiach ke'ein zeh tis'atik. And pour out your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Davin, say something like this. Something like this. Ana Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, please. Me'olam ata avinu va'anu vanecha. For eternity, you were always our father. We were always your children. Ume'olam ume'eis asherak yagiach yel v'yaldi yisrael me'rechem imoy tzareinu merubim umarim. And we've always been in a pickle. We call Yisrael's always in a tough spot. It's like every generation, we got these problems. They're tzareinu merubim, we got a lot of problems. Umarim, and they're bitter. Ume'aneinu kashin va'azim, and those that are coming to cause us pain, they're rough, and there's a lot of them. Lafrideinu mimcho chas v'shalom, and they want to separate us from you. They want to make a distance, a break, a separation. Avol kol echad meitanu muchan limsor es nafshoy b'shvilcha Hashem. Every single one of us would be willing to give up their life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an unbelievable phenomenon that he says here, we've spoken about it before, I'll tell you again. Every single Yid is willing to give up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a pele. We think, it's a shvacha, a shvacha oilam. Right? People nowadays, they're not committed. Right, they're not connected. Fact is, every one of us, every single person in this room, push comes to shove, is willing to die for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not only every one of us in this room; it's practically every Yiddish neshama on the planet. It was a pella to me when I experienced this phenomenon. I was reading once an article about, people after they go, they do their service in the army. So a lot of them, they go to the Far East. They go to the mountains over there, Asia, Thailand, India, all these places, right? They got to like air out a little bit after being in the army. It's very stressful. So they go and the article is about how dangerous it is because there's a lot of Muslims over there, Muslim radicals, and it could be very dangerous. And there was this article about this fellow who he was there And he was there with a bunch of his friends, and they were kidnapped by Muslim terrorists who said, "We're going to kill you." They kidnapped them, they tied them up, they blindfolded them, the whole deal. Right? It was a whole group of them, of these Israelis. And, you know, you're in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of, you know, over there is mamash, it's like you're in the middle of a forest, the jungle, I don't know what, you know. And there's no authorities, there's no nothing, there's no way to get out of it. And there was a whole story about what happened. So what happened was this, the following thing. They said, you know, "Look, guys, we're not really the enemy. I mean, we're Israelis, but we're not religious. I mean, we're not religious anyway. I mean, this is a whole religious, you know, war over here between, you know, Muslim and Judaism. We're not Jewish. Look at us. We're totally secular. So you want to kill the Jews in Mea Shearim. You don't want to kill us. You don't want to kill us." They were totally not religious. Zero Shabbos, Kashrus, nothing. Zero, nothing. Zilch. So the Muslims had a meeting. And during the course of the meeting, the Israeli soldiers are trying to loosen they're tied up, their bonds. And the Muslims come back and say, "Okay, you know something? We accept your claim. You're not religious. We're going to let you free. Great. One condition. We want you to denounce your Judaism. And we want you to say that Allah is king. Then you're free to go. Go ahead." They said, "No, we're not doing that." I was reading this, I was like in shock. I was like, these are 10 secular people, totally secular. You're free to go. We will kill you if you don't. One of them said yes. One said, "Okay, fine." And I'm thinking in my mind, like, okay, that's normal. Isn't that normal? We just, you know, guys, let's just, you know, we'll get out of here. Who cares? You know, say whatever you want us to say. I'm gone. No, none of them said, "Good, kill us, forget it. No, we're not doing that." So the end of the story was that, this is a true story. This is a person who's still to this day, sadly enough, not religious. The Muslims now, like, they were like caught a little bit in a quandary, like, "No?" Why'd you say no? So they went back and they huddled again. The Muslims went like to try to figure out what to do. And in the meantime, the Israelis managed to break out of their bonds, whatever it was. And they actually jumped the Muslims because they had, you know, guns and everything. And they ran away. The Muslims managed to kill one of them. One of them was killed. The other 9 all lived. But the moral of the story is not that. The moral of the story to me is there were 9 totally unaffiliated secular Jews somewhere in the backlands of Thailand, and they're going to die now because they refused to denounce their Judaism. That's unbelievable. To me, that was unbelievable. And I realized to myself, you put any frum yid in that place, he's doing it. 100%. He's willing to be Moshe Nafshel Kiddush Hashem. He's not going to. He won't denounce his Judaism. Now, we're not that. I can't say that we're, you know, all that perfect in our Avodas Hashem. But the fact is, push comes to shove, the most important thing in every single one of our lives is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The most important thing. Push comes to shove. That's what it is. We get caught up in the moment, we get distracted, we get enticed by certain things, but push comes to shove, at the end of the day, it's either Hashem or anything else. We're all choosing Hashem, every one of us. It's a fact. That's a pellet. You think about that for a second, and you realize how powerful that means. What does that mean to me? Like, wow, it is the most important thing in my life. So, what am I doing about the most important thing in my life today? You think about it that way. So, then we have to kind of like, we have to make a new schedule. This is what a person should be davening. Even just the young sheep, they're willing to extend their neck, Bishvilcha, to be shechted for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every one of us. Ein Keitz L'moik De'esh, there's no end to the amount of people that have been sacrifices. Asher Sirafunu, that have been burnt. Ve'ein Cheker L'tzareseinu Hatmidius. And it's just, there's no accounting for the constant tzaras that Klal Yisrael is going through. B'meshach kol yimei chayenu, ha-moitzitzis es loshed chayenu. It's trying to suck out the vitality of our lives. It's rough. It's not an easy existence. U'bishvilcha k'dei shelo l'hafrid b'mcha z'akol v'aba u'besimcha mekablim. We will accept everything Kodesh Baruch Hu sends us. We accept. We're mekabel. Kein anu kulanu v'chein hineni gam ani. I'm the same way. We have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to start like expressing ourselves with emotion. Ken ani gam ata v'chein eya tamid. This is me, and I will always be this way. Aval avi malki me'olam oysonu nihagta. But tate, my father, you always were the one who was being, you were the one who was directing us. You were the one leading us. Ayin ba'ayin eshchinas uzcha ra'inu. We're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eshchina. We're able to directly have a connection and an interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imanu ka'av oyeves imbanim dibarati. You spoke to us like a father speaks to a child. That's the way it used to be. Matoiv hayolanu us. And how good that was. Lochein ato, that's not the way it is today. Goramnu avonaseinu v'alisa lamarm. We've done too many sins. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you've kind of escaped. You went up to the Shemayim, and we're not in direct contact anymore. As a Shemayim be'adcha sagarta, you close the heavens behind you. Ein royev ein shemel. We can't see Hashem. We don't hear Hashem. Lo medaber v'lo oina lo navi v'lo choize. Ona Hashem almin otashto es ma'at hatzoin. She'eris Yisrael b'midbar shmo makazu. We're here in an empty desert. Mokum azinke aguf anefesh. There's dangers around the spiritual, physical dangers. Ovi shebashamayim yiro nafshi lirois biladecha afrega. I'm afraid to be without you even for a moment. Kerav yisanu v'yiskar v'leinu kimeyas. Bring us back. Come back to us. We want to feel that closeness. This is a tefillah. This is a tefillah of Chovetz Talmidim writes. And he says, a person has to learn how to daven. And if a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything can change. Everything can change. And we can return to the original situation. I want to share with you a story. Today was the yahrzeit of Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the famous Rambam. I've been speaking a little bit about the Rambam recently. I want to share with you a story that I read about the Rambam. And the story is written... And it was written, and he says that he has the story b'mesayra, aid mipi aid mipi aid, from the Rambam himself. So this is a story which says that it's a direct mesayra that the Rambam himself told the story. The Rambam's father, Maimon is who's. Rebbe Maimon was buried right next to the Rambam in Tveria. The Rambam's father was a phenomenal Talmud Chacham. Phenomenal. And all of his children, one after the other, each one of them was a star. Each one of them shteit. Each one of them applied himself. Each one of them learnt. He had one son that was causing trouble. That son's name was Moshe. Moshe wasn't learning. Moshe wasn't listening. Moshe wasn't behaving. And it caused friction in the house. Moshe was a bad boy. Moshe was thrown out of his house. Moshe ben Maimon was thrown out of the house. And he left the house. And it hit him. What is going on with me? And he went to shul. And he cried tears to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, I want to know how to learn. It's so frustrating for me. It's so hard for me. I want to know how to learn. And he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said it was a life-changing experience. He davened with so much feeling, so much dedication, that he felt that all of a sudden he looked at the page and it started talking to him. He started understanding it. He had a different appreciation. He became Rabban Shel Kol B'nai Yisrael. He became the Rambam, Rabbeinu, Moshe ben Maimon. He became Mi Moshe V'ad Moshe V'kom Ke Moshe. It all happened B'koyach, his tefillah, his davening. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know how to learn. He was a lo yitzlach. And if you look through the generations, I think practically all the greats, practically, didn't know how to learn. Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old. He was 40 years old. He did not know how to learn. It wasn't that he never tried. He tried. It didn't go in. You know that the Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu was 40 days, 40 nights in Shemayim. The first 39 days and 39 nights. He learned, he forgot, he learned, he forgot. It was like the 40th day. Moshe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you help me out over here? Because, you know, I got to go soon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the entire Torah B'matana. So what's going on? Why it only took a day. So why didn't he do it in a day? So Shem Yishmo says, you know why? Because you have to understand something. If you don't doubt for it, if you don't try, you're not going to get it. And if you do, even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it. Rabbi Akiva didn't get it. The Rambam didn't get it. No one got it. The Torah is not normal for us to be able to get it. How do you learn Torah? The Gemara says, Yivakesh Chochma Mimi Shachochma Shaloi. You get Torah one way. You daven for it. I want to end with one thing. You know, where there's a lot of people here for a lot more of davening than used to be. It's a coincidence. It just happened recently. But I look around sometimes, like around Yishtabach, and people are just like, they look bored. They just look bored, like waiting. Because they did their Pesukei de Zimra in their normal, you know, 6.5 minutes, or however long it takes them to bzz, 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 bzz through. And now, what are we supposed to do? I just want to give an etzen. I didn't mean that to be condescending or critical. What I mean to say is as follows. We're here. Let's try to, you know, make this davening mean something. It could change your life. Totally change your life. You know, we're here anyway. Let's try to figure out, what do these words mean? You know, I've got time anyway. I'm sitting around. Let me figure out what I'm saying. Let me try to say it with some feeling. Let me try to connect to my davening. Let me just start speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I do want to get better. And we all do. Every single one of us wants. We really want. So let's tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that. And when we do, Beis Hashem will answer us.